This is the Rancho Marietta Community Service District's monthly security committee meeting. April 8th at 1300 or 1 p.m. We'll call the meeting to order. And with that, Amelia, do you have any hands raised or anything like that?
I don't have any hands raised. Let me open up my chat. Oh, I do have a hand raised. Richard Gears.
Okay. Go ahead, please.
Hi. Can you hear me? I'm talking on my cell phone, so.
Yes. No, you're fine. Oh,
okay. I was just wondering what the status of the surveillance camera policy was. I recall it was on the board meeting agenda a couple of months ago, and then it got removed. I haven't heard anything since then, so.
That's a good question. Off the top of my head, I don't have an answer, but we might have to circle back to you and get that for you.
Okay. And one other question.
Sure.
I think Tina put on her list of the security log that used to put in the denied entries, and with the new software that disappeared. And I think she at least put it on a list to look into that. So I was wondering what the status of that was.
I think when we get down to the gate entries, because I do remember some conversation on that from last month, we could probably address that question then. And okay. Again, if we don't get them 100% answered for you, then we'll just circle back around on those two items. I'm just okay. Kind of writing that down, camera policy, and then denied entry. Okay. Amelia, anybody else?
I don't have any more hands raised, and I do not have any chats.
Perfect. Thank you. Moving on to item number three, monthly updates, operations. I believe, Tina, this is going to be you.
Yes. I'm here. Okay. So we're still looking at using PDF staff to support security and gate patrol until all the vacancies are filled. So PDF security is still working out here as needed, just for backfill. The recruitment for the security supervisor position has begun. We have received about 30 applications, weeded through them, and there's five possibilities for now. So we're just waiting for a few more to come in, and then we'll look at do an initial phone interview with everyone, and then setting up interviews as well, just to make sure they're so interested, going over their qualifications, because some of them are a little iffy on their qualifications, not totally meeting them, or some are retired annuitants. So I don't know how that would work if they actually want to go back into the CalPERS system. We're still continuing recruitment for gate and patrol officers. We have now received several applications for positions for patrol and gate. We did interview one person this week, and we are looking at and that was for a gate position, and we're looking at interviewing some patrol officer positions here soon, because we still have one more opening and we need to get that filled, especially with summer coming up. So we'll be looking at those and seeing in the next couple of weeks if we can start interviewing some people for those. All right, and then on the next item, reinstating the program for issuing county citations for parking, handicap, and fire zone violations. Already did phase one, met with the sheriff's department for updates on county citations and the fee schedules. We did get the citations from the county. Danny's Lieutenant McAuliffe said there isn't a problem, but he did tell us to look at our scope of authority, if it would be okay for us to issue these cites, and that's on a district level. So I gave that to our district's attorneys to review if that would be okay and within our scope to be able to issue those cites. And then phase two, phase two part of it would be educating the community, letting them know that, hey, we're going to start doing these citations and using our avenues of communication to put that out to the residents. And then phase three is the implementation. July 1st, if we're able to go ahead and do that, then we can start issuing those citations. Questions?
No, that's fine. I think the game plan that you have worked out is fine. I think timeline's fine. So we'll just reconfirm our scope and mission from that standpoint. And then I agree, we do the educational phase, and then it'll be the implementation. So I think July is a good target date. Thank you.
Tim, we did discuss communication strategies in the communication meeting this morning.
Oh, excellent. Okay. So I'll read those minutes as they come available. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. And the next item is summer events planning, such as preparing for 4th of July if there's going to be an event, as well as any other events that may come up. But the options for that are additional patrol units, backfill, possibly with PDF security or whoever the new security company could be if it's not PDF or Valor, and then hiring back Sheriff's Department for events, as well as Fridays and Saturdays when it starts to get busy, when everybody wants to go to the lakes and all that. So we're looking at that. I actually have the contract with the Sheriff's Department that they just sent over today, so I'm reviewing that, and what it has on there is the actual cost and the duties that the sheriff's deputies would be doing out here. So,
Tina,
costly with their current fees. So,
okay, I think you're spot on to be ahead of the power curve here. You've been here long enough to start seeing the trends and understanding some of the patterns that are out there for us. So I think bringing those options forward to us, what we'll end up doing is probably working back through with RMA as well, just so that they understand that if we're gonna do some enhanced enforcement, those types of things, just they understand our expectation and vice versa. So as we move forward with that, we'll just include RMA. And then if we're going to use any of the other parts of the district for if we need some type of enhanced enforcement, then we'll just work back. An example would be the Mobile Village Association, et cetera, et cetera. So very good. Thank you.
All right. And the next item is the RFP for contract security services. So that RFP was just pushed out this week. We did have some questions about it, and we have reminded our personnel that this is only to supplement security as needed when we are short-staffed, due to the fact that the contract with PDF has expired, and the cost of it, we have to put it out to bid for other companies for fair competition, basically. So any questions on that?
No, and I think I'll address it with the board just to make sure that it's reiterated at a few levels. We're not looking at replacing staff or anybody. It is simply to refresh the current contractor. If they're the successful bidders or whoever the successful bidders would be in the augmentation of our security services. So thank you.
And those the proposals are due by April 22nd to be considered. Next line item, or a couple more things I wanted to discuss was I contacted the Sheriff's Department, the community service officer that does crime prevention events, and have been in contact with her via email and have requested that we do a crime prevention event within the community due to some increased activity. What's interesting though, is she said that when she did her stats, she did not see any increase in crime, but it looks like even though we advise residents to contact the sheriff's department to make reports, that those reports weren't necessarily being done. And, but it clearly shows within our case reports. So, but I do want her to come out so we can do a little, like a crime prevention fair and have the community ask questions, things like that, give you crime trends, things like that, seeing what we can do to make people more aware of it. So the only thing she has to do is check with her bosses to see if she can come out due to the COVID restrictions, make sure that's okay, and see how we would be able to do that. She said she has been out here before for that. So.
Okay. Tina, you brought up a very valid point there. Obviously, when our residents are advised to follow up with the sheriffs, they're in fact not doing that. So I guess my question to you will be, when we set up the next meeting with our liaison, Lieutenant McAuliffe, maybe we kind of work on what our stats look like. And, you know, if we want to pick from whenever probably you accessed the database, we don't have to try and compare 2020 to 21, but maybe we get something where we have a trend that you have in the current database. And maybe that's what we share with him. If they're not seeing it on their level, we're seeing it at ours. And we just kind of have to maybe bridge that gap of information. Because if this this crime prevention person pulled their stats and they don't see anything, then we have a little bit of an uphill climb to work through with the sheriff's department. So I think that maybe that's how we need to take a look at it with the database. And so next time we meet with Lieutenant McAuliffe, we can just explain what trends we're seeing internally, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Okay.
And I do have a comment. May I read it now?
Yes, please.
It is from, I don't want to say the wrong person again. It is from Crystal Matter. Residents are required to make reports with SSD or CSD forwards them to SSD. I don't know that residents know CSD does not do that. Does CSD's own matrix identify an increase in crime during the last 12 months?
What's the question there?
Crystal, what's the question?
Sorry, I was trying to not interrupt too much. I'm wondering, I don't know that I guess that succinctly my question would be, does CSD not forward over any reports to SSD such that the only report would be coming from the resident?
In answer to that question, no, we do not forward the reports to them unless we are calling the sheriff's department out, like for vehicle theft or anything like that. There are certain calls where we do respond to them, but then we advise the resident, please contact the sheriff's department. So that's up to the resident. But we don't forward them our reports just on a monthly basis. We don't do that. So not unless we're helping with the investigation of like a burglary or whatever else. But okay. We do advise the residents to do that, just so you know. And as far as our metrics versus theirs, it looks to me like there's an increase lately in crime trends when looking at them, but I still need to compare to the last couple of years as well as with the sheriff's department. And that's the point of contacting
the community service officer over there at the sheriff's department so we can work together and, you know, figure this out, see what we can do.
That's all the comments that I have, Tim. Thank you.
All right, super. Thank you, Amelia. Go ahead, Tina, please.
Okay, and then the last item of discussion that wasn't on the list. We did order two AEDs, one for the office and one for patrol. And we sent out little training video clips on using the AED, even though most everybody is first aid AED certified. So there's two of us that are scheduling ourselves for that training to be updated. Right? But as far as I know, everybody else is updated on using those items. So.
Excellent. You find AEDs everywhere in the modern world. So I do appreciate you fulfilling this and making it happen. And I think as we move forward and really what our customer service level is going to be, we can have more discussion on how involved we get and et cetera, et cetera. But this, like I said, in the modern world, they're everywhere. So thank you for getting that done.
No problem. On to the next item, the Rancho Murrieta Association activity. We have the usual general calls for service, park enforcement, stop sign enforcement, speed enforcement. And as far as the license plate reader cameras go, we at the north and south gates, we will be installing license plate reader cameras for the outbound exit number 2 lane and the bike lane at the north gate. And then we are also repairing the license plate readers at the south gate exit. I guess there was a problem with the wiring being too thin at the south gate, so the license plate readers would work intermittently. So when they got too hot, they would stop working. And then we're having two new ones installed at the north gate.
Very good. Just a quick comment. I have been contacted by a couple of folks on the focused increase in security within Rancho Murrieta itself, both north and south, and it was much appreciated. The last time this happened, the district did it out of spikes, and it was a one-time spike. And I assured those folks that reached out to me that we're able to identify some trends now and actually have some consistency in the level of service. So for that, thank you.
Moving on to the next item, the Murrieta Village activity, the village entry cameras, the installation is complete and they're actually up and working. I am able to view them on my computer and I have the cameras up and running on my computer at all times. So, and then we've been doing regular patrol activity out there, just the usual calls. And same with the Commercial Owners Association activity. Again, it's the same thing for those cameras. The installation is complete. Any questions?
No chat. Yes, I do have a hand raised.
Go ahead, please.
Richard?
I was wondering, are those cameras for the Commercial Association, those are different from the ones at the village?
No, they're the same ones. They are on the Rancho Murrieta Drive, I think is what it is right there. So it's actually on the main street. It has, it'll capture cars going north and south, and then also ones going into the village area as well. So.
Okay. And it's got two license plate readers. Those are looking up and down Murrieta Drive?
Yes.
Okay. But there isn't one looking into the entrance to the village?
Yes, there is. Yes, there is.
There is?
Yes. There's three cameras there because I can
view them. And well, I got you. I was just curious.
Or license plate readers?
No, I think they're just cameras, not LPRs.
Oh, they're
license plate readers are for the gates.
Did you hear that, Richard?
No, I missed the last part of it.
These are regular cameras.
Okay.
The LPRs are for the gate.
They're for the what?
The gates.
The ones I talked about earlier, those are at the gates.
Okay. I was just wondering, are those cameras, can you maneuver them from like your office or like zoom in and zoom out? Or are they purely stationary?
No, they're stationary.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Any other hands or chats or anything, Amelia?
Gail says Tina's hard to understand. Sounds muffled and far away from the microphone. Come sit close to me, Tina.
Historically, for me, when Tina's yelling at me, it's loud and clear. So.
Okay, that should make it better. And now I have a comment from Nicole Williams. Hello, Nicole. I apologize for being redundant. Are you stating that we do or don't have a way to track license plates coming in and out, even if that is currently use of cameras?
I don't know where the in and outs from. If she's talking about the north and south gate, yes, we do have license plate readers at both facilities, and we're in the process of upgrading them to a current standard so that it's operating appropriately.
And then adding two more additional license plate reader cameras at the exit.
Correct.
But yes, we have them at the entrance and at the exit currently.
Anything else, Amelia? Any other hands?
Thank you for your clarification. Thanks, Nicole. That's what Nicole said.
Oh, perfect. Thank you, Nicole. All right, please continue on.
Okay, next item on the agenda is the RMA site summary. And Amelia will show that here momentarily.
There we go.
Which is this one here. Okay, and you will see our sites from January to February to March have increased. So from February to March, we had 10 sites, and in March, we had 62 sites issued.
Mm-hmm.
We had 12 for speeding, 2 for no driver's license, 17 for driveway parking, 1 for stop sign, 14 for night street parking, and then several others as well.
So Tina, if we can talk about that just for a second. The first question is, that's a huge jump. And then I guess, I don't know if it's philosophical. I don't know if it's expectational, but the January one seems similar type numbers that I've seen before in prior months. February was extremely low, and then we're back to what we saw for last month. So I guess without a waxing and waning, is there a certain focus items that we paid more attention to, or what's your game plan moving forward, I guess?
Well, the game plan is to be more consistent with the citations, and when they see violations, basically issuing them as we are supposed to. So what that came from was at the last RMA compliance meeting the month before, they saw that the numbers were low and they have an expectation that they would like to see more citations. So we've been working with RMA, with the compliance officer, Chris, much more in strategizing how we're gonna do this. So per the compliance committee, we've increased the citation issuance. So basically I let the officers know, hey, you guys need to issue more citations, you know, when you see violations. And then the other part of it too was the contract security company was advised that they could issue the citations as well because they have been trained in it. So that has increased as well, because otherwise there were no citations given. under that aspect.
Okay. Well, that, yeah, then that's a huge expectational issue I was not aware of with the contract company. Okay, excellent. Very good. Thank you.
All right. Any questions about that? All right. And the next item up is the gate entries report, gate entries by type. And if you scroll down just a little bit, you'll see that I added in prior month's totals. So we can see that there is actually an increase, obviously, in people coming into RMA. So there's a $1,400 or $1,400, not dollar. There's a $1,400 total entries into the North and South over the last month. There's an increase on that.
All right, very good.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. All right, any questions?
No hands raised, no chats.
And then the next one is the gate entries denied, total of 28. So there were 14 lookers, one resident refused, somebody that wanted to come in, vendors after hours, that was 9, no answer at the resident, and then 3 other miscellaneous ones.
Okay. This goes back to, I believe, Richard's question earlier about the denied gate entries. Does this answer your question, Richard?
No. My question was about the actual security log. It used to be that the each individual denial was on that log, and with the new software, it's not there anymore.
So do you want to see the denials in the narratives, that case log that I put on the internet every week, Richard?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, I mean, that would be my preference. I don't want to make too much trouble for you.
Right. So I'll tell you what, Richard, now that I understand that question just a hair bit better, let us work back through staff, because this information is a quick grab and it's an easy post. Manually putting it into the actual log might take some additional tasks. So let us look at that. If it's not additional tasks oriented, then that might be a probability. But if it's an additional task related, I don't know if there's a benefit to having staff have to do a couple extra steps, but let us look at that and then we can get back to you on that. Tina, is this average on the denials? For some reason, I was thinking this is a low number.
Last month, I don't have last month's stats, but...
Bring them up, Michelle.
No worries. You don't have to. It's just that's what jumped out at me. No big deal. I just thought this was a lower number than usual, but otherwise that's fine. Continue on. Sorry.
I have a comment.
Amelia, I want to hear your comment, please.
It's not my comment. I have a comment from Crystal Matter. There are still gate officers letting guests in without vetting them. Can we do additional training? 2 days last week, guests I was anticipating but forgot to call in were let in without even having to roll their windows down.
I don't have an answer on that other than additional training should always take place. I without knowing the specifics, I couldn't tell you if it's a system trend or an individual gate officer that knew the person or what have you. I would say to deal with it specifically in this case, that information would have to be forwarded to Tina, and she could do the research and follow up from that standpoint. We haven't even begun to really look at the review of who's on the permanent guest list or update any of those. So with that being said, it's on our horizon, but we just haven't got there yet. I don't know if that answers the question, or Tina, if you want to add anything more.
Yes, I'll add something in. Sergeant Tompkins has just sent out an email a couple days ago to everyone in regards to their duties. And that was one of them, is making sure that they are issuing the proper passes to guests that come in. So he did just send that out this week, along with other duties and what they're supposed to do.
And just for some edification for folks, understand, if you don't have a barcode on your golf cart, they should be stopped and a guest pass or identified as a resident or what have you. So as we're moving forward, and you heard it from Tina Best, that she's looking to get consistency in the expectation of the performance of both the gate officers and the security patrol officers. So this is definitely a work in progress. She inherited what she inherited, and we're just now starting to see where we can start to get proactive on items. So for that, Tina, thank you. For those of us that are still living through some of the frustrations, we do have to be a little bit more patient as the consistency continues to improve on our end. Amelia, anything else before we move on, please?
Crystal added, not on the permanent list. Thanks.
Okay, please continue.
Okay, and then the next item is the case summary reports.
Case summary report.
So we had a total of 337 case reports this month.
And Tina, this is that specific report that we can then subset out. This is what jumped out at me. When we have our next meeting with Lieutenant McAuliffe, and just say, hey, here's what we're seeing. I get some of these might cross your desk, or there might be some actual follow-up, but this would be that trend analysis that we could show him and that prevention officer, that here's what we're seeing. It may not rise to your level, but here's what's impacting us locally. And this is the report that really jumped out at me that would be the one that could capture it most succinctly as we're moving it forward through their system.
Yes. Any questions about this one?
Yes. I have a question. Yes, there is a question. Go ahead, Richard.
Two questions. It's a good report. Couple of questions though. Are these just showing non-zero values? Like if there were no welfare checks, would that line be on there?
I think the answer is yes. If I, and Tina, please jump in. If I understand this database, it's trying to capture all the things that we're doing. So even if there was a zero item on there, then it would just come out as a zero. It a nuance item wouldn't cause into this report adding something. This is just a standard what items fall into, and then it's just numerically populated from that standpoint. That's my understanding.
Okay. Another, just a comment, feedback. You know, when I look at this report, my immediate question I have that comes to mind is, what were the numbers last month? How does this compare to, you know, like last month or any other month? Are these typical? Because, you know, I look at one of these like animal compliance, 19, or whether I don't have my glasses on, 10 or whatever. That 10 doesn't mean too much to me. It's interesting, but is that typical? So just feedback. My initial question always has, boy, I wonder what it was last month. So that's it.
All right. Thank you. Tina, continue on, please.
Okay. And the next one is incidents of note. Amelia's green.
There we go.
All right. So March 4th, we had a vandalism. Resident reported the kids skateboarding on Laguna Joaquin Park, knocked over a part of the retaining wall. We reviewed the video and found that one of the juveniles was skateboarding, and then it appeared that he may have purposely kicked the retaining wall, knocking off several blocks. They were put back in place and a citation was issued. March 8th, there was an auto burglary, 6800 block of Torreno Drive. Vehicle was burglarized and a backpack containing a 40 caliber loaded handgun was stolen. No known reported.
Nice.
The sheriff's department responded for this report. On March 12th, there was a hit and run accident at Murrieta Village and Murrieta Drive. Patrol responded to a report of a hit and run accident. Sergeant Tompkins reviewed video, identified the vehicle and the driver. He located the driver and interviewed him. Photos were taken and everything was forwarded to CHP on that one. On March 15th, there was a stolen golf cart. Can you move it up?
Sorry.
At the Murrieta Inn and Spa, patrol was flagged down by personnel of the location who reported a green Yamaha golf cart. It was taken in the early morning hours after 3 a.m. Review of the video footage shows these subjects who were wearing face masks. And the golf cart was later recovered behind Bel Air at the loading dock, and there was about $1,000 in damage to the golf cart. But you can see here, looks like there's five guys in one of the pictures, and then on another one, they're climbing on the back of the golf cart as well as whoever's driving it. And then you see two subjects walking across the street. So, and then all shifts were covered during the month of March. We didn't have any non-covered hours. Any questions?
I have some comments. Let me let this person in the waiting room. The first comment is from Heather Gonzalez. Thanks for joining the meeting today, Heather. Are these individual incidents or duplicated? So Heather, I'm just going to assume you were talking about the previous slide of the incidents by type.
I'd make that assumption.
So for example, one call for suspicious person who was also intoxicated, one incident, but two infractions.
If I understand the database, we wouldn't populate multiple items. It would be what it was appropriately to fall under. So if it turned out to be trespassing, but it ultimately was vandalism, then it would fall under vandalism. You wouldn't put trespassing and vandalism.
Because from the narrative.
Correct.
This is one medical. This is one abandoned
vehicle.
Yeah.
And so like on a suspicious person, yeah, when they contact him, the person may be intoxicated. So that's just all one.
And I have another comment, which is from Crystal. During the last CSD board meeting, there was a discussion about potentially issuing a be on the lookout type alert. Has there been additional process on that particular proposal? And now I know what BOLO means. Thank you, Crystal. I'm learning.
I did not do an informational bulletin. I remember your question was on that auto burglary. There was no information on that. So, and really that it would be more of a community education, which is don't keep valuables inside your car, especially a gun. So no, that was not issued on that. I only issued one informational bulletin, and that was on the golf cart theft, because you can see some of the subjects in there, even though it's not clear with their faces. So,
and to expand upon that, I know that the general manager and myself have just had preliminary discussions of how involved do we want to get this information out. I have grave concerns of posting juvenile pictures, especially females, even though in this state, 35-year-old male can go into a woman's or a girl's restroom. That's beside the point. It's a long process for us to move this forward. So it's not on our immediate horizon, because that's going to take buy-in from multiple homeowners associations on really how involved do they want to be in this process of identifying potential subjects through either video or photographs. So it's on the list, but it's not anywhere near the top. Anything else, Amelia?
Heather Gonzalez says, got it. Thank you for the clarity. Crystal Matter says, how are those informational bulletins going out? Thank you.
I guess the going out part is back to you, Tina.
They are submitted through our own website. They're posted there. I sent them out to RMA. I send them out to Gail. And now I have another new media outlet as well. Can't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but I have a list of who I send them out to, as well as I think I said RMA, to so they can post them as well for whatever site that they have.
Perfect. All right. Continue on, please.
All right. And do you
then
want to bring up the informational bulletin?
Sure.
Okay. So here's the informational bulletin. And again, this is just requesting if anybody has known or heard of anybody, you know, stealing golf carts or anything like that, you can report it to us anonymously. And then the last item is the complete listing of prior month's incidents. Amelia is bringing that up, and this is the whole list of all the incidents. There's quite a few.
So I think it's 100 pages this month.
Any questions about that?
No, I went to the Evelyn School of Speed Reading, so Amelia's doing
fine
with that.
Yeah. Well, I could read it all out loud to you.
No, I'm fine.
Then we can end the meeting tomorrow morning.
Thank you. No questions on that. Then let's move to, and thank you for that, Tina. Item number four, discuss security service opinion poll survey schedule. I don't know if this falls to the general manager, since it was finance, and I haven't listened in to the posted meeting. So I'm assuming it's fallen to you, Tom.
Yeah, I got this one. We held another preliminary meeting with the folks at True North and got into the issue of adding to the mix a town hall meeting to just sort of kick off the process and allow more people that are going to be able to fit into the working groups to hear what's going on and kind of get an idea about which direction the opinion poll is going. So we're working on trying to pick the correct venue and the date and time. It'll obviously be an early evening meeting to give everybody an opportunity to get off work and come to the town hall meeting. We're probably going to, and this is all just pretty fresh discussion. Amelia, could you please mute everybody, please?
And then you'll have to unmute yourself, Tom.
I will. Okay, I'm back. So we're probably going to put a something on our webpage to get kind of an idea how many people are interested in attending. That will sort of dictate how large a room we need. We really can't have it behind the gates because we want everyone who's in the community to have the option of attending. We definitely can't have it in our building unless we're sure only about seven people are going to show up. So I'm looking at what our options are and then also the date. The itinerary for the town hall meeting is going to be sort of a prelude to setting up the focus groups, but we're going to talk about how Measure J came about, sort of to inform the room, the history of Measure J, and what is required that the district provide based upon the Measure J tax that was approved by the voters in 1998. We'll talk, give an overview of our budget cycles, just so people can understand that, you know, we're a July to June company and how the budget works a little bit. Then as part of that, we'll circle back and we'll provide information of why we're here today. When did security special tax stop paying for itself? And then we'll discuss in general what we're going to talk about at the town hall, at the working group meetings, is define the things we can do, what it means to cut back to minimum, what it means to add staff, and get somewhat of an idea about what people really want. And then kind of define where we're at and where we've been and where we can go. And then talk about what the working group future is going to be and the timing for when the survey is going to happen, and then give people an idea about what they can expect when the results of the survey are going to be available. And then, of course, based upon the survey, what our next actions will be. There's a lot of options that we were considering, and, you know, we wanted to just get through this month with all the busyness with the budget cycle. And start by, I'm sure next month we will have the, maybe later this month, but definitely by May, we'll have the town hall meeting and work our way into the work groups. It's important to note there's really not a definitive deadline for this poll. We want to get it done in a controlled manner. And, you know, the very first general election available to us will be June of 2022. And then November of 2022 is another general election. If we are in a hurry, and if everything just kind of flows smoothly, and we decide we want to hold a special election, it's going to be a lot more expensive, to the tune of about $80,000 to $100,000 additional cost, in order to get it onto a, in order to get the county registrar of voters to develop what they need to do to create a special election. So those are kind of the things we're going to talk about. I really don't have a lot to add. This is definitely a finance committee issue because it's such a budgetary concern, and there'll be more of this spoken at the finance committee meeting. And that is my report. I'm sure there's a question or two.
Thank you, Tom. I think as finance moves this through the process, I know that there is no set deadline other than really the budgetary issues. And I know the board has talked about it's going to be a multi-fiscal year to work this process through at the end. And I think looking at the two options, either a special election and what that cost equals versus by time we're done through this process, is the natural transition for the voting going to the first general election. That's going to be for the finance committee to recommend back to the board. So very good, thank you. Amelia, any hands raised or any chats, please?
I do have a hand raised, Tim. Not a hand, I apologize. It is a comment from Heather Gonzalez. Wondering about the comment made about the 35-year-old man going into the girls' restroom. I am new to the community and wondering what the context to this situation is. Is there a capital H lowercase x, again, a term I'm not familiar with, I'm sorry, folks, context within RMA and incidents of men sneaking into public restrooms? Or was that a dig at new legal protection for LGBTQ+ community? Because the latter would be highly offensive and discriminating language against a protected class. Nicole Williams followed up, thank you, Heather. I was also taken aback by that comment. Heather says, I am hoping I misheard that. Nicole says, HX equals history. Thank you, Nicole. I'm still learning. And Heather says, historical. Thank you, ladies. I didn't know. Oh, and I think I have new messages. So I got it. Oh, haha. Sorry for the acronyms. Thank you.
I think a couple of things. One, if I offended anybody, definitely not my intent. The focus I wanted to get across is there's a larger issue of having juveniles on cameras out here that we just haven't fully discussed, A, as a community, as a community service district, and I'll pick on RMA just because they're the largest customer that we have. And until we can resolve some of those issues, how far we can expand on some of the questions we had on how do we get this information out to the community, it's just going to be a very delicate item. And really for the short term, I think we're going to fall back to the expertise of, in this case, the security supervisor as we move forward on what information can be released or should be released. And like I said, for me, it's the legalities of juveniles and especially the female juveniles. So that said, if I offended anybody across the board or any special groups, I apologize for that. Thank you on number four, Tom. Item number five, discuss summer staffing options. I think, Tina, this is to you.
Again, with the July 4th and any other summer events, as well as increased activity where school will be out, things like that, we're looking at ways to increase our security patrols, especially Fridays and Saturdays. Looking at the contract security company to do some supplemental services. So maybe we have two officers on during a certain period of time, like between 6 and midnight. And also, again, going back to the Sheriff's Department off-duty contract that I just got, we're looking at that as well, to hire the Sheriff's Department back as well for that.
A couple things jump out at me. From a fleet resource, I believe we have enough vehicles for the multiple additional staffing, especially since we put the pickup truck in service. Is that a correct assumption?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And then specifically back to the sheriff's off-duty contracts, we can specify within their expectations, what we're looking for. My thought process, either we have to provide them the vehicle that can do it and or they provide their own vehicle.
So on that, they provide their own vehicle. That's part of the contract. And then yes, their job details are specified within the contract.
Okay. Okay. Perfect. And so the next process in this is you'll be making a recommendation forward on what you're going to be looking for. I don't, and Tom, this is kind of to you. I don't think it has to come to the board for any decision making. I think this fully falls between you and the general manager on your authority for what we need to make happen, unless there's a budgetary overage that we need to identify. I would think you would just maybe at the next security meeting, or not this board meeting, but the May board meeting, you don't need to give specifics, but just tell us that you've implemented what your game plan is going to be.
Yep, sounds good.
All right.
That's exactly the case.
Okay, thank you, Tom. Moving on to item number six, discuss boardroom maximum capacity.
So we're getting ready to open up. Everybody sees all these counties changing colors and stuff like that. And we're waiting for the Sacramento public health officer to give us the direction and see what our open meetings and public facilities is going to look like. But I'm guessing we're going to be able to have a certain number of people to begin with based upon our boardroom occupancy. And we're also looking into, now CDC has come out with the new distancing and some of the requirements. So we're trying to catch up with the requirements with the hope of hopefully being open in May and probably June at the latest. And I'm not the expert. I'm just based upon what I see on the news, what I read in the paper. So this is a discussion. And what we're trying to do is figure out what the occupancy of our boardroom is, because oddly enough, there's not an occupancy label somewhere on the walls in there. Normally for public buildings, you see what the occupancy is. So that's just an update on where we're going. I know people want to get back to live meetings. I really want to do that as well. So that's why I put this on here, Tim, just to let you know that a couple things we're doing to get ready.
And perfect. I agree with you. I think the sooner we can meet in person, the better. It's been too long ago. I could have given you the formula to figure out square footage equals per person, what the occupancy is. If we need to know the exact occupancy, then we'd have to work it back through the fire district to do that. But I think an update like that, I think we're fine. You're moving in the right direction. Item number 7, update on security supervisor recruitment.
Tim, I have to go back because I do have a comment, if I may.
Yes, please.
From Crystal Matter. There are a number of residents who wish to participate in the meetings. Folks would like the meetings to be at 6 p.m. rather than 10 a.m. or 1 p.m. And some people would even like to attend in person. What can CSD do to accommodate ratepayers' requests regarding times? Personally, I would appreciate a Zoom option even if there is an in-person meeting. She followed up with, there is a large number, if not majority, of households with working professionals that cannot attend during the day.
No, and I appreciate all of that. With that being said, I think what it really comes down to is what is the available capacity of the community service district. I know that we don't have the abilities right now, and I don't see it in this year's budget to put a telecommunication device system or systems in place to do a combination. So I think as most agencies, as they open up, they're going to stop doing the Zoom meetings and not try and manage both. It'll be one or the other. With that said, I think we're going to go back to how the district ran business during the business hours. There'll probably be some modifications at some point. I understand the wants and desires and needs of a handful of folks that want to attend the meetings that are currently scheduled the way they are. For that part, I don't have a specific answer, but I do know that as we move forward, we are going to go back to, at all levels, the board meeting and the committee meetings in person. And my desire would be to do it as soon as possible with the most maximum amount of people that we can get that want to attend from that standpoint. I think, Tom, as you bring forward the timing of when we're going to implement opening up the committee meetings and the board meetings, the board can have some discussion at that time. Go ahead.
Not to be a bother, Tim.
No, go ahead, please.
Ms. Crystal said, thank you, then let's just make sure we have capacity for everyone if we will not be offering a Zoom option and meetings at 6 p.m. Then Nicole Williams says, there seems to be an overwhelming request for later meetings from feedback on our community Facebook pages. I appreciate that the community wants to be involved and hope we can find some creative solutions to meet CSD's needs and community needs.
Thank you, Amelia. I have no idea. I guess I'm going to have to ask you this, Amelia. On the district's Facebook, so we've got an overwhelming people.
I believe that they're talking about a private Facebook page. Okay. There. Yeah, right. A community page.
Perfect. I know nothing about that. So thank you. Moving on to item number 7. We got a little bit of an update on the security supervisor recruitment. So I don't know if there's more specifics to add from either Tina or Tom on this one.
No, I don't have anything on that.
I don't have anything.
Okay, thank you. Comments from staff, please.
This is Tom. I want to commend all the staff. Hang on, I got to shut my door. I want to commend all the staff in security for adapting to changing the way we do business and trying to meet the needs of the community. Under Tina's guidance, I think the our work with the Rancho Marietta Association and with the associations outside of the gates has been our game has been upped, and I think that participation is a sure sign that people are noticing security and that we're doing a better job. The other thing I want to mention, and this is really a big deal, from my window I can see the street light that goes into the south, and I cannot tell you how often I'm hearing horns going when people are flying through the red light headed south or north as people are pulling out of either the district offices or the south neighborhood. And so, I mean, just be careful, because folks don't get it. They're just speeding along fast or beating the red lights. And I don't know how long it's been since we've had a fatality at one of our intersections, but almost anything is going to be a fatality with the speed of the cars going down 16 right now. So I just want to put out a heads up. Personally, I don't want to see anything horrific happen right outside here or at the north entrance.
No, actually, Tom, you're spot on that. And it's usually every couple of years, we will, within probably less than 100 yards of either entrance to the north or south, have a fatality or a very significant physical emotional event with the vehicle accidents. That's the nature of Highway 16. And if you're not paying attention, it's kind of the cost there from that standpoint. Before I make my comments, Amelia, do you have any other hands or comments, and I'll close out?
The public portion, I do. Nellie Bloom, thank you for joining the meeting, Nellie. Yeah. I would prefer to avoid both overtime and rescheduling staff for evening meetings. The audio, agendas, CSD pipeline are excellent community resources that keep the community updated. Crystal says, thanks, Nellie, but people want to participate in real time. Tim, Tom, what can we do about the timing request?
I think a couple of things. I appreciate all the comments that are there. Probably the most significant thing that I'm seeing, and I've only lived out here since 1991, so I don't have a whole lot of history. But what I have noticed since I've been on the Community Service District Board and even the RMA Board, this particular board with the CSD, the board members have identified a handful of issues that have been going on either personnel-wise or just how the organization has done business. And since we were able to bring on the current GM, Mr. Henning, we've been able to tackle those items. And if we haven't been able to tackle them, we put them on a priority list. And we're starting to get to that list, if you will. With that being said, that is going to create an opportunity for more folks wanting to participate in those types of things. So with that being said, those that really want to participate can and will. Those that have an agenda and just want to participate in certain things, they can and will. At the end of the day, this is a very small agency, and we have limitations, not only fiscally, but just purely capacity with staff. And as Tom talked about security staff specifically, when you look at the overall agency staff and what we're asking it to do, they're very efficient. And we're very thankful for that as board members. So to that end, I'll reiterate myself, as soon as the general manager can come to the board and have a game plan when we're going to open up fully, that's probably what we're going to do. And we'll move forward with when the current committee meetings are set and when the current board meetings are set. So to that extent, I don't think there's really any discussion around security to have anything along those lines. Anything else, Amelia, chats or hands?
Crystal says, okay, so no moving the time.
Well, like I said, I'm here for security. So as Tom brings the game plan forward, we can have that discussion at the board level. It's probably the best I can say.
Yeah.
So with that, my comments, Tina, this can be directly related to you. Thank you. You and I have had just a few brief discussions, but you're getting a good feel of where the vision needs to be for security, especially from the customer service and the consistency standpoint. And to that extent, thank you. Being proactive, we just haven't seen it. So for some of us, it's new, but please continue that process, especially as we're moving into the summer months and you're already looking at some of the items we have to take moving forward. The only other thing I can reiterate, and I don't even know how it could be misconstrued, and that is the RFP for just augmenting security services. It is not to replace. It's not to do any of that. How anybody could misconstrue that is beyond me. I just want to make sure that is out there as clear as possible. With that, I'm going to move for adjournment. Staff, thank you for your time. And everyone else, have a great day. Thank you.